What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy hump day. It is Wednesday. Hope everyone is having a great week so far. I am so exhausted. I spent the morning just climaxing with Theo, and we are all humped out.
Wow. And could he make it into the studio today to celebrate this glorious occasion?
No, Theo is actually booked and busy. Today, I'm doing a partnership with Amazon Pups. They have, like, you know, so much good shit on Amazon. This is not sponsored. I mean, I'm going to be doing sponsored content, but this particular segment is not sponsored. And they're literally throwing Theo a party. So he's, like, getting ready. He's relaxing. The event is going to be, they have, like, a ball throwing station, treat station. Like, it's literally his bar mitzvah, and he's just preparing.
And he didn't want to invite his auntie or his best friend, Bruce.
Would his best friend, Bruce, fly in for his bar mitzvah?
1,000%. We didn't know Theo was hosting a party.
Yeah, no, he is.
Bruce loves a party.
Bruce does love a party. I'm going to see if Magnolia can make it.
Oh, she probably can't, but she'll appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, I'm all about last-minute invitations. Margo, if you're watching this, text me.
Okay, well, that's really exciting Theo news that I didn't expect for today, that he's throwing himself a soiree.
It's going to be the event of the season.
No lie, I'm sure it is. Will there be any 100%. Other pups there? Is Butters going to come? Mystery? Anyone?
I didn't invite anyone from the dog walking crew because Theo very much likes to keep, like, his camp friends and his school friends separate. But there will be plenty of dogs there. We had, like, a call about it yesterday. And they were telling me, like, the down low on the event. And it's literally dog central. Theo's so fucking excited.
Are they famous dogs or nobodies?
So it's, like, definitely, like, a media influencer event. So some of the dogs are famous and some of the dogs' owners are, like, influencers and content creators.
Got it. And do you think any are, like, you and Theo, that where you're both famous?
We are a unique blend. I don't know. There's not many like us.
No, there's real. No, I guess a lot of influencers have made their dogs part of their shtick.
Not as much as we have.
Like, these two have their own podcast.
Let me ask you something. Do I look any different?
Did you get a haircut?
I did.
Yesterday? Wow, that feels like forever ago when I watched that story.
I know. I got a haircut yesterday. I cut 3 inches. And I know everyone's like, I hate to be like pick me Kendall Jenner energy, but like it feels so short. But like I had to do it. You don't understand how like when I get off of stage, I have to literally shave the back of my neck because it's in it. Like it's in just one big knot. My hair was just like so heavy and it was making me like so sweaty and I feel so much lighter. My hair took me like half the time today. So it's just like these are the sacrifices we make for beauty.
And it looks the same.
Wow.
I don't know what's worse.
Like being told like, I spent all this money to look the same or being like, oh, it's so different. Because either one of them will trigger me.
Right. So I guess I'm just going to go with honesty, which is
like,
yeah,
that's always the best policy.
You look great. Maybe there's like a little more bounce and hair grows back. I try not to get too attached when I'm getting a haircut because like it'll be back.
For sure. But like when you're a girly whose like best and only feature is her hair. You put a lot of stock into it, especially when you use your hair, obviously, as hair, but you use it also as, like, a security blanket, a chin cover. Like, there's a lot riding on my hair.
But do you think that now that you're the snatchler, there was less pressure for this haircut?
No. I'm still, like, deeply attached to my hair, and I have been since, seriously, the 7th grade.
You should get a bob.
Well, what did I say I would get a bob? Oh, if Brendan Fraser doesn't at least get nominated for an Oscar, I will be getting a bob. Even though I feel like I have a bob right now.
No, my hair is grossly long right now. I'm getting a haircut next week. I'm so excited.
You don't have like a new hair girly in Florida, do you? You're waiting till you come back to New York.
Yeah, no, I haven't even embarked on looking for someone yet. I don't cut my hair often enough that I really need to. I maybe do it twice a year. So like I'll be in New York twice a year. That way, one less thing I have to do down here. You know what I did have to do yesterday? I'm trying to get my learner's permit. And down here, you have to take a 4-hour drug and alcohol course about the dangers of drunk driving. And I'm shook to the core. Like, they make you, like, you have to read all this stuff and you have to sit there for 4 hours. You can't get to the next part until you've gone through, until you've spent enough time with each segment. Yeah. And this is compelling stuff. They're also like so fucking mean and shady about like people who just drink in general. They're like even the dullest person like wouldn't want to put like a toxin into their body and call that fun.
I'm actually so here for this course. I think a lot of people need to take it, including Sam Hunt. Who else just got Tiffany Haddish. Bella Hadid, who else? Like literally every celebrity on the planet. Mm-hmm. But I had to do one of those like before going to college, and it's like timed and they make you sit. They know if you don't actually do the little quiz. It is fucking torture. And you know what? It's so torturous. It kind of makes me want to drink and drive.
No.
Just to spite the state, you know, just to spite the college board. It
was so terrifying and
good.
Honestly, I'm scared straight. Not that I had any desire. I don't really drink and I don't really drive, but I don't think I will ever. Like, it's so scary. And even they're talking about like one drink, how it impairs your judgment. You guys, if you are someone who thinks that they can drink and drive, like, don't do it. Don't do it.
No, by the way, like, obviously getting drunk and driving is a big no-no. But I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, I only had one glass of wine. I'm totally fine to drive. And people think I'm such a narc. But, like, I will not. Like, just Uber. Like, what's the big deal?
Even like, one drink, it impairs, like, your reaction. It delays your reaction time down to just even if it's a second or two off, which doesn't seem like a lot. But it could be the difference between life crash. And death. And also, they were showing us all these cases of drunk drivers who got in accidents. And, like, the drivers are fine, the drunk drivers.
Yeah.
The other people died. The drivers are now in jail. Like, this 20-year-old cheerleader, she killed a pedestrian. Ooh. And now she's, like, and now I'm in jail.
Yeah, no, by the way, that I feel like is more often than not what happens. Like, because you're the one driving recklessly, like, using other people as collateral.
Yeah, so it was eye-opening.
Not to start off the show on such a dark
note. No, but like
note.
I just feel like everyone needs to be reminded about the dangers of drunk driving.
100%.
Especially if you're going to be driving like me one day.
God willing.
God willing. I did schedule my permit test. It's not for a few weeks because that was the first available appointment. But
have you started practicing?
No, I have to finish this course and then I'll start my practice exams.
Here, let me do a test question for you.
Okay.
When the light is red, what do you do?
Well, we haven't learned that yet, so. You stop.
Very good. Even though the questions are low-key hard on that test.
Oh, my God. And they make up who yields when the yielder needs to yield.
And they dead-ass make up scenarios that literally never happen to you when you're driving.
No, or it's like scenarios that are so remote, like, there are certain symbols that you probably will never see if you don't live in like ever. Certain parts of the country, like I see bridge or whatever. Right. And they're like, what does that mean?
You know what that, like those obscure road signs remind me of?
What?
I wonder if you know what I'm going to say. The most iconic film of all time that I reference here probably once a year. It's not one of my like go-to references, but we do a segment on it at least once a year.
I'm listening.
Come on, you don't know what I'm talking about?
Have I seen it?
I think so.
Is it like The Children? That movie you made us watch for Toast Movie of the Week.
No, it's a comedy. It's so funny about a family road trip.
Oh, RV.
Yes! If you guys have never seen RV, it is Robin Williams' best work. Also, it's just like a weirdly star-studded cast. The daughter is played by JoJo. Get out, leave right now. She sings Route 66 at the end. The mom is played by like the most annoying mom, like wife character from Curb Your Enthusiasm. What's her name? Cheryl.
Cheryl Hines.
I was going to say that too, but now I'm thinking that's a different girl.
No, it's Cheryl.
The blonde girl. Yeah. It's so funny. Like you will audibly cackle.
It's not my favorite family road trip movie.
What is?
We're the Millers.
You know, I walked out of the theater.
I love that movie.
By the way, that's like a generally beloved film.
It's really, it holds up.
100%.
So anyways, don't drink and drive, especially if you're going on a road trip, but especially for anything, don't do it.
Don't.
And yeah. Now I'm going to have that same energy that you have about it. I've been scared straight.
Good, good.
I've been scared straight.
Sorry, I forgot like the one thing I wanted to come on here and say is after you berated me endlessly, I finally watched Untold, the Manti Te'o story. And at first, I think maybe you like hyped it up like a little too much about how like depressing it was. Cause I was like, no, this is definitely sad. But I wasn't like bereft, you know, left on the side of the road clutching my pearls. However, towards the end, I was so bereft. I was on the side of the road clutching my pearls. I was so upset and so angry. And I actually shed a tear just like at that final moment. So much of the documentary was about Renata, who was clearly an unwell person. And I wasn't really interested at all in hearing what they had to say, like their reasoning, you know, their motivation, the delusion thinking that they were helpful in winning football games from across, you know, a cell phone. However, and so I thought like we were going to get like more. Is it Renata?
Renaya,
sorry. I thought we were going to get more Renaya like content towards the end. And like maybe they wanted us to feel bad for them. I did not. No. For one moment. Feel bad. I felt bad for Manti having to listen to Renaya's music and then post about it on his Twitter. That's what I felt bad for. But I did not feel bad one iota for Renaya. Renaya is clearly unwell. Really unwell. And I didn't even feel like Renaya learned her lesson. Like, I didn't really feel the true remorse. And then when Manti was like, I forgive Renaya, I'm like, Manti, like, you don't have to. It's fine. No, we don't forgive her.
We don't. I never would. I never could. And like this person just came into your life and stole from you. And stole everything that you've worked your whole life for. And for no reason other than their own selfish gains.
Yeah. Wait. And then also it made me think because like when the end, I think what really got to him, like wasn't even so much the loss of potential, was just the way he was like endlessly mocked by the world when he's clearly someone who comes from a family with like a lot of respect for themselves. And he had a lot of respect and they respected faith and hard work and like all like the decent pillars of humanity. And then just to become a joke, I think he was so upset by how that affected his family. And I thought that was interesting that that's what he kind of was left with. And it made me think, not that they're at all similar, but like there were a lot of people who believed that Manti was in on the hoax. And let's just, and he wasn't. But let's just say for argument's sake that he was. He still didn't deserve, you know, the cartoons made about him, the memes made. Like it was horrible. Like the way you would have thought he was a murderer. Like that's how you treat murderers. And it just made me think of the story we spoke about yesterday about that girl, Sumner Stroh, who is like out here making videos about Adam Levine and like on TikTok, she's being mocked endlessly. And like, don't get me wrong. Like, have I been like laughing at some of the content? Yes. But it's just like the way like the entire internet will galvanize against a person, whether they're in the wrong or not, like is so mean and it's so unethical. And like that type of shit and that type of treatment is like really what makes people suicidal. Like it's not okay.
Yeah.
Not that the two situations are even remotely similar. It was just on my mind because we had spoken about it yesterday. And like at the end of the day, whatever you think about the affair, like this is just a girl. Like she's a girl in LA. Like she's 25 years old. Like just give her a break.
Yeah. We'll talk about that story today. So that's would be interesting if your perspective has changed based on this documentary.
If I'm like giving my opinion on the situation of like married men, my opinion hasn't changed, but just on the internet's reaction to it. That has changed. But let me just really quickly go back to the Manti Te'o thing. I thought that the guys from Deadspin, and I don't really know much about Deadspin. I just know that they're like, they give like Gawker energy.
Yeah, I think they might have been owned by Gawker at one time because they use like the same font.
But I really felt like the two guys who they had in the documentary who were responsible for uncovering the hoax, like, weren't coming at Manti from a bad place. And they were even surprised how it went so negative. And what the fuck was with all the homophobia? Like, that was fucking random.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of loved the documentary, like putting all these still popular and relevant news media people from all these different channels, like putting them on blast, and like, they're being low-key fucking homophobic. Like, first of all, what's with the jump to gay? I hate when people like use sexuality like as an insult. Like, and like, if they think some, they thought at the time that Manti did something like crazy for and like thirsty for attention, so like, why it gotta be gay? Like, why is that your logical next step and like jump to conclusion is homosexuality? Like, the whole thing just had like a really, well, kind of,
just because Renaya was a man.
Oh,
that's why. Like,
I thought it was because like, oh, he was pretending to have a girlfriend, so he must be gay.
No, I think it was like he was pretending this was a girlfriend, but it was really a boyfriend, and he knew.
Oh,
I think that's
okay. Well, that's a little bit more logical, but still, it doesn't justify like even openly gay. They had Anderson Cooper on there. Like, it's like, sexuality is something that's supposed to be protected, like, and you're not supposed to out someone. Like, it was just, the whole thing felt so fucking icky.
Yeah, it's so crazy when you watch back documentaries, and this one is pretty recent history,
yeah,
and how the media gets stuff so wrong, and it just makes you wonder, like, what they're getting wrong today.
Now.
Because it's not like they've changed. Like,
it's the same people.
Okay, so they wouldn't do that interview with Britney Spears the way they did it then. Like, they are not making, like, the exact same mirror image errors, but it's always the media, like, being nasty.
It's so true. Like, all these documentaries years later. Also, the moment that really got to me, that, like, choked me the fuck up, was his interview on Katie Couric, where his parents, like, sat down. And it was just, like, these are just, like, normal, good people who are, like, their whole lives, like, they just, you know, they love their community and they love their church. And, like,
no, like, they did everything right, and so yeah, did he. Like, he was really like a pillar in his community, even when he went to Notre Dame and he's like a fish out of water, and he still like rose to the occasion. He's just like a good person, and it's not like he did anything
malicious.
He didn't do anything wrong, you know. And then this just happened to him.
No, and then like the thing that really upset me was like, he was just getting dragged and people weren't believing him because he had a girlfriend for 3 years that he didn't meet, which like is like a weird thing to do. And so he was then put on blast for like kind of being weird. You know what I mean? And that's like, yeah, embarrassing. There were just so many levels. And the thing I was not expecting was Dr. Phil. The way I would take a bullet for Dr. Phil, I think he's the most precious gem of a man. And at the end of the day, like, it all comes back to Dr. Phil.
Yeah, no, he cracked the case wide open.
He did. Like, when he got Renaya to do her, like, female voice, I was shook. Because I was also thinking, I'm like, who the fuck is leaving these voicemails? But there was two things that really confused me. The first was the girl who actually was in the photos as Linaya. Her name was, like, Diane or something. Mm-hmm. When the Manti Te'o story broke of, like, him losing his girlfriend and his grandmother on the same day, they had pictures of the girlfriend, Deadspin was pulling those pictures, like, did that girl not see that and be like, hey, I'm alive?
I had the same question.
And then the second thing was like, I need to know more about like under what circumstances she sent that photo with like the red writing on the piece of paper and like the gang sign.
No, or not, like, gang, okay, sign, but when he got that photo, I was like, what the fuck? Like,
me too.
Renaya must be, you know,
Photoshop wizard,
Photoshop Facetune queen.
Yeah.
But then when Diane explained how it came through, it made sense. Like, people do stuff like that on the,
yes,
internet. Like, we're trying to get, like, you know, we're making a collage for my friend who's sick, and we want everyone's picture, like, saying get well soon. And then Renaya could write whatever she wanted on there.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, it's pretty fucking genius.
No, it was so crazy. Like, the whole, I just love Manti. Like,
and you know what I want to know? Who sent that first tip to Deadspin?
Yes. Yes. Who, I mean, people were talking about it. There was like a few tweets. Like, it might have been people in the community, maybe back in Hawaii. Like,
yeah,
there were like people who knew about it. I don't know how. And that's a really good call as well. I thought that person was going to sit down in the documentary too.
Yeah.
It was really upsetting. And I was happy to then go on a Manti Te'o rabbit hole, find that he is married, he has a child, he has found happiness. He ended up making about $10 million in the NFL, which is obviously a lot of money, but that literally would have been his first year salary if he had been picked as he should have been picked. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, I'm like a San Francisco 49ers stan, juice check. However, there is a special place in my heart for the San Diego Chargers because they picked him up.
I know.
And I think it might be the San Diego Chargers' time, honestly.
The Chargers.
The Chargers.
I'm a Chargers fan. You know, now
because it's got used to charging on your iPad instead of mine.
Instead of mine. Now that I've moved, not that I ever had really allegiances to football teams. Well, I guess we're Cowboys family, actually. But
I guess, like, if we're thinking like that, we're like a New York Giants family.
You are.
You're from New York too, bitch.
No. But like my family, not you. Like you're my family.
Wow, I'm not a member of your family.
No, but like me, wow. Zach,
Moose
and
of
Harry.
Florida disowns her sister. Wow, Jackie. Wow.
Me, Zach, Harry, and Brew are Cowboys family.
So you don't consider me a part of you, Zach, Harry, and Brew?
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
No, I would just lay my life out on the line for any member of your family, but
that's
okay.
True. Okay, cool. You want to be a Cowboys family?
It's so good to know where we stand. It's so good. I'm glad.
Do you want to be a Cowboys family?
The more you know.
I'll have to tell Ben. Who does Ben root for?
Whoever's like in his DMs, you know?
100%.
Like whoever follows him. Like I know there's like a guy from Wisconsin, Green Bay, who like Ben is friends with. I think they played golf together and they like message all the time. It's the same way, like, but I think, you know, us becoming a part of the Juice Check family, like that threw a wrench in Ben's plans. I think we're gonna have to go out to San Francisco for a game. Like I'm like the way I'm such a 49ers fan, it's not normal.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, now sometimes I'm watching TV, I'm like, am I supposed to be a Dolphins fan or a Bucks fan?
No. I think I think when it comes to football, you don't bloom where you're planted.
Got it. But
you
I think
bloom
some
of, where you're born.
Some of the other sports are like open for interpretation because like Zach doesn't have a hockey team that he really cares for. So I think we're Panthers fans.
Well, the Panthers did invite us to a game.
And they brought a teddy bear.
They gave it's in like my house. Some merch. So I think maybe I see that for you. However, the thing about being a New York sports fan, which I'm not, but like I keep up, is like it's riddled with embarrassment, you know, like the Knicks, embarrassing. The Jets, like, kill me now. The one kind of cool thing about New York sports is the Rangers. Like they are good. They've always been good. They always will be good. The games are like social outings, like celebrities always go. So like if I were you, I would stick with the Rangers. And like I have like fond memories of going to Rangers games as a child with our now deceased father watching Jaromir Jagr. So when I go to Rangers games, like I'm always cheering for Jaromir Jagr, even though I believe he retired about 15 years ago.
I'm always cheering for Wayne Gretzky.
Who's that?
He's a famous Ranger.
Right. See, like Rangers are like, there's clout.
There is clout. Okay, you're right. I'll stick with the Rangers and the Marlins.
Baseball, yeah. Mm-hmm. But also we have the Yankees and the Mets. Those are both good too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, things change when you move.
This is literally like the morning goal. Like, we're so athletic.
We're so athletic. Anyways, all I'm saying is that my allegiances are up for grabs.
Okay, well, now that
a Chargers fan.
Now that football has started, you know, we always like to put in our predictions for the Super Bowl.
Ooh, yeah.
I think we should do it.
Okay. You give a team.
Was last year the 49ers against the Bucks? Or the Chiefs? No, am I just making all that up? I feel like Kyle Juszczyk was in the Super Bowl.
He was. No, it was the Bengals. Oh, I should know this. Harry was born. Bengals versus the Rams.
Ugh, okay. Like, honestly, I'm so done with the Rams. Like, I have, like, and maybe it's just jealousy. But, like, I hate everyone who goes to Rams games. I hate everyone who plays for the Rams. Like, I hate, except, sorry, I take it back. Like, Kelly Stafford follows me on Instagram. Yeah, I love her and her husband. She's a podcasting queen. Yeah, I love her and her husband. I just hate like the fans, like the celebrities. It's like you guys like have everything in LA. Like, can other people in the country have one thing?
No, and it's like you just got a team. Calm down.
Yeah, yeah, no. And it's like some of us have had teams for centuries and never won. And like you started your team yesterday and you already won.
The thing is, I'm actually a Rams fan now because they won the Super Bowl on Harry's day of birth. And that means something to me.
Why?
Because it's like they were the winners and so was I. And we were all just like having a great day. So I feel a simpatico. Sorry, like deal with it.
Okay. It's so hard to separate like players, teams, and then what it means for the country. Because like generally I don't really like going to LA. I don't like LA as a town. But like the Staffords, obsessed. The kids, so cute. High school sweethearts, like give me more. Like obsessed.
So let's make our Super Bowl predictions.
I'm going with the 49ers. Like, I'm going to be, like, a good fan. Like, I even watched the game on Sunday when I was in Seattle, and they were playing Seattle. So I was, like, in my hotel room rooting against Seattle.
Traitor.
And Kyle Juszczyk was, like, it's nice when, like, the player, not to be, like, so annoying. It's nice when the player, you know, like, doesn't suck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, of course, like, I'm a C-list celebrity. The players who are going to know me stink. Because they're spending all their time on Instagram.
Fellow C-listers.
Right. So, like, it's nice to have, like, an A-lister in my... That's why, like, I'm a Mets fan. Ben is, like, really good friends with Pete Alonso. And, like, could he be better? I think he's, like, the best baseball player right now.
You know who's actually the best baseball player right now making headlines today?
Who?
Aaron Judge.
Tamra's like, son.
Tied for home runs with Babe Ruth.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I saw a headline that he's doing things.
Well... I don't really care. I'm like a Pete Alonso stan. Rookie of the year, home run derby winner 2 years in a row. Has his own charity. And, you know, the charity world is so important.
Everything. Okay, charity. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know any other teams. Like, because you can't. It has to be East versus West.
No, it's like AFC and NFC. And right, because I want to. Wait,
you want to hear how psychotic this is and why, like, football is low-key unfair? There's two reasons why football is unfair. One, because, like, if you go into overtime on a football game... Whoever has the ball first, like whoever scores first.
Yeah.
So whoever has the ball first, like it's unfair. Second, why it's not fair is like all the teams don't play each other. Isn't that crazy? Because I was looking for like a San Francisco 49ers game for like a New York team so like I could go and like root on my boyfriend Kyle. And she was like weirdly jealous of Kyle. And I'm like, Janice, why are you so obsessed with me? It's like she was a lesbian or something. And they don't play each other. So it's like, how can you really be the best team if you don't play all the teams?
Well, you would beat the teams that beat that
I know, team. But I don't think that's fair.
Okay, take Football it up with...
is, it's giving hoax. It's giving Manti Te'o.
That's not helpful to the situation.
Wait, there was a hoax involved. He just wasn't a part of it.
Okay, but like when you associate his name with hoax, it's not helping. We need to associate his name with hero. Inspiration.
Okay, you're giving snowflake energy, like
not at all. You're just like we're doing the exact same thing that like we were railing.
No, for
against.
Sure, for sure, for sure. It was also a joke, so there's that.
Who is gonna win the Super Bowl?
Why are you asking me? I'm saying the 49ers.
Versus
you said who's gonna win.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
We had that Super Bowl, so that
and is, it can happen again.
So it's possible, yeah. For me, but not for me. Who's gonna win?
You liked the is there a Utah team?
The Jazz.
That's basketball. The Utah Jazz hands? They're so good this year.
No, yeah, I need to do a little more research before. Like, I have literally no idea what's going
okay,
on.
Okay, so, like, hound me and then give no answer. Great. Great. Let's dive in.
I trapped you.
Literally.
To today's stories. The fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
We've gotten our hum button fixed, which is just a great relief to everyone everywhere.
It's muscle memory for me. Just, I know. I'm an athlete.
Our hum. Is brought to you by Visa. Do you ever dream of starting something game-changing? Then Visa can help make it happen. Maybe it's creating and selling your own customized kicks, transforming your dorm into a plushy pop-up shop, or finally going mainstream with your side hustle? You know, for us girlies, it was about starting a morning show that would revolutionize the morning show industry and then eventually the podcast industry and the digital landscape for all eternity. Whatever your game-changing idea is, whether it's a game-changing idea for new moms, Olivia has a great... Has she told you about, like, the product she wants to invent for moms?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know if I want to say, because, like, it's actually a good idea, and it doesn't feel like it would be, like, a hard prototype to build. And if you have Visa behind you, you can really do anything. I'm not going to spoil it. I'll ask her first. So if you have a game-changing morning routine, whatever you're bold enough to try, Visa has the power to help bring your game-changing idea to life. Visa. Anyone can change the game.
Great. Thank you so much, Claudia. Our first story. You're welcome. Update from the big story of the week that broke yesterday. Adam Levine and Bahati Prinsloo are spotted together for the first time after affair allegations in photos obtained by Daily Mail on Tuesday. The singer and his pregnant wife were seen picking up their two children from school in Montecito. Levine, who was all smiles, sported a red band tee and black shorts, while Bahati wore a white t-shirt with her hair in a bun. The two of them were smiling and clearly putting out the signal that all is well over here.
Right, because, like, how have they gone without being paparazzied for years? I've literally never seen a picture of them being paparazzied, and now there's, like, a big scandal, and the paparazzi just happens to capture them.
Well, and also, it's, like, now they're interesting to the paparazzi, so maybe, like...
But they're still A-list, like...
Maybe there was genuine interest, but, like, Adam Levine picks his kids up from school with his wife.
Right. It only takes one parent to pick up a kid from school. Let's just be real.
But they want us to know that they're fine. We are now up to four women coming forward with flirty allegations, allegations of misappropriate behavior, inappropriate behavior.
Are all the allegations just texting, or is there any physical
stuff? Far, I'm just seeing messages. But I guess, like, the messages are easy to prove.
Right. He had said to someone, like, you're so much more beautiful in person, like, meaning they had met in person.
Ooh, yeah.
Did you also see Emily Ratajkowski?
Yeah, that's our next story, because that's conversation.
So the girlie who made the initial allegations made a second video, and she was like, I feel like I have, like, so much to say, because my first video, I was, like, really flustered. Basically, like, a tabloid had emailed me that they were running the story, and I wanted to get out in front of it, and I realized, like, I left a bunch of gaps in my story. The main one being that I was told he was separated. And whether or not that's true, I'm not sure. But she just kept saying in both of her videos that she was new to L.A. Like, as if that's some sort of excuse. Like, I thought his wife passed away. Like, there was, like, why did, like, the way that she kept saying I was new to L.A., like, that's not a thing. It's not a different planet.
No, and, like, I don't live in L.A., but I know Adam Levine is married to Bahati Prinsloo.
And I don't live in L.A., and I know that you're really not supposed to see someone who's married. It's, like, kind of an unethical, you know, it's the crossing of a line.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what she might be trying to say is that she's new to town, doesn't know a lot of people. If this person takes an interest in you, it's hard to be like, oh, no, Adam Levine, I'm not interested. Like,
no, for sure, and that's what we were saying yesterday. It's like, both parties are responsible, but we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that there's a power imbalance when it's someone significantly older, more powerful, and more famous than you. Like, you're swept up in it. And so it takes an extremely strong person to turn down a situation like that.
I'm more interested in someone was reaching out to her, going to expose the story, and that's why she came forward. Because for me, it's like, she came forward with this. Nobody, like, prompted, asked, whatever, and she's like, looking for sympathy, it feels like, when she was a mistress.
Right.
But if she came forward because it was going to come out, then that's would explain that.
Well, did she I give can't any imagine.
I don't want to say, like, that's not true or whatever, but, like, it feels like she came forward because of this most recent message about the baby named Sumner.
Well, that's true. But I also can't imagine whatever tabloid was going to expose the affair would have painted her in a worse light than she painted herself. Like, she just did herself no favors in that video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she was being derogatory towards Bahati. Like, she couldn't even say her name. She was giving her, like, making herself out to be the victim when she didn't really paint a good picture in terms of details as to why we should see it that way.
Right.
She just did herself no favors. So she might as well have just let the tabloid do it.
Right. So what else did she put out in her second video? Any other?
just that she was new to LA. She was under the impression that they were separated. When she found out that that was not true, she ended it. Yeah.
Can I tell you how I see it?
Yeah.
I feel like Bahati doesn't care. Like, I feel like sometimes when, and we see this all the time in Hollywood, like, if you want to be married to a rock star, the rock star does rock star things, and that's just, like, some peace you have to make, and maybe, like, I'm sure they have a good, loving relationship when it's the two of them. He's also said in interviews, like, monogamy isn't natural, so that has to be, like, a philosophy that she subscribes to as well, and of course, it's, like, always embarrassing when your extracurricular activities are put on blast to the world. But, like, her going and doing school pickup with him and, like, putting on smiles is, like, I don't know if she thought ever that she was in a monogamous relationship.
That's a really, really good point, and I like that. However, I think in arrangements like that, the understanding has to be, like, you can do this, but you can't embarrass me. Like, you have to be, you can't be messy. And I'm sorry, like, multiple Instagram model messages, like, that's the definition of messy. Like, if you want to have affairs in Hollywood and keep them low-key, like, there's a way to do it. There's a certain type of girl who is, like, you know, built for that. And girls who are Instagram models and have OnlyFans and, like, are always, like, chasing some sort of fame, like, that's not the type of girl you would responsibly have an affair with.
Yeah, so maybe she's mad at him for the way that he went about it, but I just don't feel like this is that crushing to their relationship.
Right, not the infidelity.
It's not like she packed up her things, we've got moving trucks across the street. No, they're going to pick their kids up from school. Like, I don't know that how much of this was new information for her.
No, I actually love that perspective, and I'm going to choose to see it that way. Because they're like indie cool, not like other couples. Like, I totally see them, like, being okay with one another. I mean, doing it when someone's pregnant, like, is a little fucked up. But, you know, there's this couple on TikTok who has an open relationship, and I don't follow them, but their content is always being served to me. And they talk a lot about, like, how they're in an open relationship. They tried monogamy for a few years. They hated it. But they do maintain the monogamy when the woman is pregnant. And I feel like that's fair.
That's fair. But it's not, like, this is coming out while she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't know how much happened while she's pregnant.
Trails. It's so true.
So, I don't know. I just feel like celebrities, they're not like other folks. And, like, Adam Levine.
Celebrities, they're not like us.
Adam Levine is a bona fide rock star. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like that's what rock stars do. And, like, if you're married to one, there's some sort of understanding, especially if you're the next day being chipper and saying all is well yeah. here.
No, you're so right. And I could also see Bahati, like, wanting to have a boyfriend on the side. Like, she's literally so cool.
Yeah.
I used to get her so confused with Lily Aldridge.
And then they're both married to rock stars.
To rock stars, yeah. Lily Aldridge is married to the lead singer of Kings of Leon, which is, like, so cool.
Yeah. Like, it's funny how Adam Levine is a rock star, but I wouldn't say Maroon 5 is so cool.
No, and I wouldn't say Maroon 5 is a rock band.
Yeah, but I did, like, speak to Dana about how
girls
this...
like you, but, like, that's not rock.
Right. Dana said that she's very disappointed in Adam Levine, but she'll still be going...
she's his number one fan.
She'll still be going to a Maroon 5 concert.
Yeah, no, I don't think, like, this takes away from the fact that, like, it's a banger, you know, banger season. She will be loved.
Yeah.
And if they're fine, I'm fine. Like, I love when people get, like, so bent out of shape about, like, celebrity things. And then, like, the celebrities, like, don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Like, Emrata is making TikToks. Like, I'm trying so hard not to lose my shit. Like, as if she's Bahati.
Right. Well, let's get into our next story. Because Emrata is weighing in on Adam Levine's scandal amid her split with Sebastian Baron McClurd.
No, that's not what's jarring about the situation. Like, for me, why this is newsworthy is because the TikTok she's responding to was made by fellow celebrity Sarah Foster.
Yeah, no, you mentioned that TikTok yesterday where Sarah Foster is like, what about the women who are cheating on, with sleeping with married men? Like, what about them? Like, it's just as much their fault. Like, Emily Ratajkowski then stitched that video with one of her own saying, I don't understand why we continue to blame women for men's mistakes, especially when you're talking about a 20-something-year-old woman dealing with men in positions of power who are twice their age. The power dynamic is so skewed, it's ridiculous, it's predatory, it's manipulative. If you're the one in a relationship, you are the one who's obligated to be loyal.
Okay, so I agree with what Emrata said. Like, in this particular scenario, like, there's totally a power imbalance, and I don't know if it can be judged the same as, like, every other infidelity. But I feel like the statement that she made, where it's like, it's on the person who's in the relationship to keep the relationship. Like, if it's not going to be, you know, Sumner Stroh, it's going to be someone else who's going to fuck Adam Levine. And I just don't agree with that, like, whatsoever. Like, we all have a obligation to wake up every day and not be a piece of shit. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. And I feel like when you're talking about, like, the other woman and, like, not placing any blame on the other woman, Emrata is, like, her thing is, like, she empowers women. And I just feel like that literally empowers women to be weak. Like, I don't agree with that statement whatsoever. And it's, like, the way that Emrata looks at it, it's, like, women aren't equal to men. Like, they're not smart enough or strong enough, like, because they could always be, you know, whisked away by a man. And it's a power imbalance because one's a man and one's a woman. Like, she's literally, like, that's literally just saying, like, women are weak.
And, like, women aren't capable of making decisions for themselves, having agency. And anytime, like, a woman makes a mistake, right, like, it's because they were placed in a situation that they couldn't answer for themselves. And I feel
like thinking, like, that line of thinking, it's, like, damaging to women. Like, yeah. Actually, I can make my own decisions. Like, I am strong, I am powerful, and I don't want special treatment because I'm a woman. Like, that makes me feel weak and actually not equal to men.
Yeah, no, you need to, like, hold women accountable.
Yeah, like, if a woman fucks up, I feel like a lot of the time, and, like, I love this queen more than anything, and this is just, like, a totally random example that's not really a good example, but, like, and she's finally started to lean into the jokes about her not being able to read, Lea Michele. Mm-hmm. But, like, the last time she commented on it, she was like, well, I don't know if people would be saying that if I was a woman. I mean, if I wasn't a woman. And, like, that fucking line of thinking and that just line, that makes us weak. I'm sorry. It does. Because no, it makes no fucking sense.
And that line, for me, like, you lose all credibility. Like, if you
You're wrong.
No, and you're just like, it's so fucking lame.
Although, that's not to say that there aren't situations where, like, someone is being treated differently in the press or, like, a rumor or a conspiracy theory because they're a woman. I don't think that that's something that doesn't happen. It happens all the time. But, like, when you're just randomly pulling it out of your ass, like, well, I'm a woman. It's like, oh, you have nothing else to say.
You have nothing else to say. That's what it is.
So I just, like, kind of feel like in her quest to empower women, Emrata is depowering women. Honestly, like, the way she describes womanhood, like, doesn't make me feel strong.
She's like,
it makes me feel like I need special care.
She's infantilizing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to that version of feminism. And I feel like that's, like, the new wave feminism where it's like, I think, like, OG feminism is like, bitch, we just want to be equal. Like, let us have our jobs. Let us do the same. Let us get paid the same. And it's, like, weirdly taken on this, like, women need special protection. Well, that's actually not equality.
Yeah.
And that's my feminism 101 of the day.
I just think Emrata is immensely projecting her situation onto this.
Yeah.
She hasn't really spoken about what's gone on with her. I feel like she's using this as a vessel to share her thoughts. And clearly, she's so only mad at her ex-husband, Sebastian Bear McClurdia. Like, and that's fine for her and her situation. Who knows what he was doing? Maybe there were, like, multiple women. She can't be busy holding all those women accountable when it's just, like, the one common denominator, and that's him. But speak on that, you know, not this situation, yeah, which is very different.
And that's also not to say that, like, when someone has an affair, the husband and the mistress are 50-50 to blame. Like, there's definitely more blame to put on the person who's married. But we are all human beings. And, like, we all should do our best to be good people. And knowingly having an affair with someone who's in a relationship, like, that's not something, like, a great person does.
Yeah. And if we're always just focusing on the other person who definitely, right, more wrong, yes, but it takes two to tango.
It takes two people to destroy a marriage. It really does, or a relationship. And I just don't, and I can't stress enough how, like, Adam Levine is majorly to blame in this situation. And this isn't even a good example because there is a power imbalance. But I think when you're discussing, like, affairs in general, I think we all just need to sit down and watch The Other Woman.
Yeah.
Because that film really, that empowers women.
It does. But then at the end of the day, you don't blame the other woman.
Because in that situation, the other women did not know.
Right.
They were being lied to.
They weren't Googling their man's.
Right. Their man wasn't famous, you know? Yeah. So he said, hey, I'm a single guy. I live in Connecticut. Oh, how great. I just met this great single guy.
Yeah.
And once they found out, they joined Team Woman.
Team Woman.
Which is, that's really kind of the lesson, is that we should all watch that film.
Agreed.
And that's really all I have to say.
So
I'm just, in the future, like, do not treat me special because I'm a woman. I don't want it. I hate that shit.
I hate that shit too.
It's like, it's embarrassing for like our gender. Like, we are just as capable. And like, that's what the whole point is, you know? So why are we being treated different?
And insisting on different treatment.
Right. Because we're women. Like, no.
Well, it depends on the situation, but yeah.
Of course. This is like a very nuanced conversation. I'm sure people are going to like want to kill us. And every situation is different and should be treated as such. I don't think like blanket statements are helpful here.
Yeah, but
even though I just made about 11.
But the one where if someone like is relying on, it's because I'm a woman.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, that's, you've ran out of options.
No, like you literally have nothing else to say and I'm just going to consider you wrong in this situation.
Yeah, wrong, can't admit like your part and just.
When it feels so out of left
field. Dragging all women like, into this.
Yeah, like leave us alone. Even though there are situations where that is a true answer.
Yeah.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
Like you think like the backlash someone is doing is like, the backlash someone is getting is like so like, beyond what it should be, and like other men have done the same thing and there wasn't even remotely that much backlash, like then that makes me think.
Okay,
so like I said, it's a case-by-case situation. I don't really feel like blanket statements are helpful.
Agreed. Are you ready?
Even though I've made quite a few.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story that's brought to you by Upside?
Yes.
From cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts. And it really, truly hurts. And that's why we started using Upside, an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. Because with every purchase, we are earning cash back thanks to Upside. So you can use Upside anywhere. For me, I've had the most success using it at the grocery store because all I spend my money on consistently every day, every minute of every day is food. I've used it and it totally works. It is a no-brainer. So to get started, you download the free Upside app, use our promo code TMT5 to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, you'll claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business, pay as usual with your credit or debit card, and then you'll just get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week, and that's why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app. Use promo code TMT5, so that's TMT as in the morning toast, number 5, TMT5, to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more in cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code TMT5 on the free Upside app, available to download now.
Great. Thank you. Our next story, Selena Gomez is shedding tears in My Mind and Me documentary trailer. She says, I wouldn't change my life. So Selena Gomez is giving fans an intimate look into the highs and lows of her life since achieving stardom. On Tuesday, Apple TV Plus released the trailer to her upcoming documentary titled My Mind and Me, which spans over the past 6 years of her life. Wow. In the teaser trailer, fans see the actress on several different occasions where she's smiling, laughing, and many where she's bursting into tears. She also shared the trailer on her Instagram, writing, My mind and me, we don't get along sometimes and it gets hard to breathe, but I wouldn't change my life, out November 4th.
I feel like this is the perfect time for Selena to be releasing a documentary. You know, I love a celebrity documentary. I also love one that doesn't feel like you're like promoting something, or it's like a short period of time, like 6 years, like that's enough for me to see the whole picture. And we all know Selena like went through a really dark period a while ago. And I believe 6 years ago was probably like the tail end of that and her journey like coming out of it. So I think it'll cover a really interesting time in her life. And I hope we get like snippets of Taylor Swift. And I'm like, I'm in my Selena era. Like, I'm ready for this documentary. I might not have been ready for it 2 years ago, but I'm ready for it now.
I'm ready for it now. And we always say, like, I feel like a good time for a person to make a documentary is when it feels like they have some answers. Not all the answers, but, like, a chapter is closed. You know, there's growth. You're not saying something that literally a year from now turns out to not be true. So I feel like who she is today.
Yes.
Is someone who I want to hear from, like what you figured some stuff out.
Someone who's grown and learned and like, yeah, experienced and tough things.
One lived life. Like I think, you know, an 18-year-old with a documentary is like
agreed.
Silly sometimes. especially because, like, it's, what do you have to say? What, I mean, there's some 18-year-olds, especially artists, who are very profound, but just go live your life and then come talk to us. Like, don't worry about us right now.
No, I agree. And Selena's not really the type of celebrity who, like, has really shared anything personal with us in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
I feel like we know a lot about her music and we know a lot about Rare Beauty and she's like a big mental health advocate, but we don't really know like what she's like. Like, no. I feel like she stopped sharing that version of herself a really long time ago.
Yeah. Even like her social media is very curated. We, you know, surface. She's not someone who's like doing stories, just like talking to the camera while she's like fucking around.
Yeah.
So I think this is a perfect subject matter for a documentary. I'm excited to watch it.
So am I. I feel like Apple TV Plus is like the type of thing you literally buy for a month just to watch a thing that you want to watch. And then they're like struggling.
Yeah.
Like everybody bought it for Ted Lasso. They binge the whole season. They turn it off. They buy it again for Billie Eilish documentary. Turn it off. They'll buy it again for this. Turn it off. It's like not, there's not like a steady stream of like premium content.
And what's so crazy is like they have everyone's eyeballs. You know, I have to watch Apple TV ads all the time because I have an Apple TV. When I turn on my Apple TV, like they're showing me promotions for shows on Apple TV.
Right.
And still, I'm like, you could keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Keep it. I'm so good.
But thank you for the offer. I'm very kind of you.
Genuinely appreciative.
But it's not for me.
No, thank you.
But I will subscribe for this and unsubscribe. Same.
I'm keeping an eye out for Selena recently. And I really like what I'm seeing. So I'm thrilled.
Speaking of Selena, I caught up on Only Murders in the Building.
I'm like 5 episodes behind.
I'm not going to spoil anything. One thing I had to mention is that Michael Rapaport playing the police detective was so amazing. He was so good. I don't even know if he's an actor. I only know him as like, you know, the Bravo celebrity and podcaster and firebrand.
Yeah.
But he was so good and so perfectly cast. And that show is so funny because every extra, every ancillary character is someone you know. Cara Delevingne's in it, Amy Schumer, Tina Fey. Like every time someone new comes on, it's like, oh, look who it is.
Mega,
it's like,
star.
Yeah. And so they really could get anyone. And I love that it was him. He was so good.
So his trade is acting. All the other stuff that you know him from is like ancillary. Like he is an actor first and foremost. He was on a brief stint on Friends where he also played a cop. That's kind of like his thing because he's like so New York and he talks like this and he's from Queens and Brooklyn and New York. And him playing a cop is so natural. And I think it was a great casting as well.
I really enjoyed him. You know who I didn't love in it?
Who?
Cara Delevingne. Like,
I agree.
I found her to be distracting the whole time. I was just like, what?
Are you following at all what's going on with Cara Delevingne?
I am. And it's very
sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
She's been exhibiting some like erratic behavior in public recently. And I think people were just like chalking it up to like her being like a crazy party girl, like not really anything that serious. And some footage was released like last weekend of her outside her house, like looking and acting really out of sorts on the phone, kicking around. Her hair was all crazy. Margot Robbie went to her house. Margot Robbie was photographed leaving her house in tears.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but like justice.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not funny either.
Right, which is why I haven't really spoken about it. There's not much to say other than like I really hope that she gets the help that she needs. The pictures of her like at the airport, she was like supposed to get on Jay-Z's plane, she's barefoot, she didn't get on the, like they wouldn't let her on the plane or something, and then she's like on the phone, and it's just, it's really sad.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of been like a known thing that she's just like a party girl who likes to have fun. Like she's been photographed, you know, outside her house and she had like a bag of cocaine fall out. I don't think anyone was ever at the point, not that like you're not supposed to be worried about someone who does cocaine, but like it's a thing in Hollywood. It's like a party thing. I don't think anyone was ever really actually like worried about her. Now it's just to a point where like it's overly concerning.
Yeah. I also, she has a collab with the Karl Lagerfeld brand that just came out. I follow them on Instagram and like the stuff is so cute. They had a launch party at Fashion Week and like she wasn't even there. It's just, I think it's a really bad situation.
I know, and I hope like the people close to her are reaching out.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, what's so crazy is like everything that she does professionally, like success. Oh, I think I'll be a model today. Number one model in the web. I'm done with it. I want to be an actress.
Yeah.
Number one actress. Like, whatever she decides to do professionally, like, she's really successful at. I just didn't love her in the show because the whole time I was, like, just curious about her offline friendship with Selena Gomez.
Yeah, 100%. And just really quickly back to what you said about, like, her just deciding to, like, do things and then she excels to the top of it. I think that's in part because, like, once you're selected as, like, a muse of Karl Lagerfeld, like, the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
And she comes from, like, a very wealthy aristocratic family.
Yes.
Like, the opportunities for her are endless. Like, the connections are endless. The ones that she made just growing up, then the ones she made in modeling, then the ones she made in acting. Like, she can really do whatever she wants.
Right. And I also think that, as you stated, like, she's this fun party girl. I think people really like her, like being her. Around her. I think she has a really big personality.
I think so, too. I think she has, like, that energy that, like, people just want to be around. Like, she's charismatic. She's funny. She must be, like, a great people connector. Like,
yeah.
She's a good, like, she's a girl you want to be friends with.
Yeah.
And I just really, I'm wishing her well.
Yes, same. And so, Selena Gomez's documentary. Check it out November 4th, 2 days before my birthday.
What a day.
What a day. 30th birthday.
It was his 50th birthday.
So crazy. What are you going to get me?
I have not even thought about it. I didn't even get Ben an anniversary gift last week.
Yeah, but, like, I'm easier to shop for than Ben.
Yeah, no, because, like, for you, I just need to take out a mortgage and then I'll be able to find something that you like.
No, it's the thought that counts.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know it's the thought that counts for me.
Yeah, no, but, and for
sometimes
me, like,
you just don't want to think about me, it, though.
For me, the thought is the hardest part.
I know.
Like, so I'd rather just throw money at the problem.
You'd rather take out a mortgage.
Yeah, no, I'll have to think about something. If anyone has any good ideas, message me.
Oh, and I was just thinking, what did I get you for your birthday? I really went all out, so.
What did I get? I forget.
The art.
Wait, hold on. Oh, yeah, you did really go all out.
So I'm earning some goodwill points.
Yeah. Yikes.
Okay, you ready for our next story?
Well, I am traveling down with Theo for your 30th birthday, so, like, that's partially my gift.
It helps. Okay. It's all to the good. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Ana de Armas went to Marilyn Monroe's grave to ask permission to film Blonde. Ana de Armas revealed she and the crew behind her upcoming movie Blonde visited Marilyn Monroe's grave in L.A. and asked her permission to film her life story. She said in an interview, quote, "We got this big card and everyone in the crew wrote a message to her. Then we went to the cemetery and put it on her grave. We were asking for permission in a way. Everyone felt a huge responsibility, and we were very aware of the side of the story we were going to tell. The story of Norma Jean, the person behind the character, Marilyn Monroe. Who was she really?" Also, it's been reported that there was a supernatural vibe on the set of the movie. They said that they believed Monroe's ghost would also throw things off the wall sometimes and get mad if she didn't like something. "I, quote, truly believe that she was very close to us. She was with us." The director agreed and said it definitely took on elements of being like a seance. Let's start with the first part. They asked permission to the grave of Marilyn to do this movie. Like, for me, this is when I just can't deal with
people in Hollywood are so not okay.
They're so self-important. Like,
honestly, I really cannot even dignify this story with comment. Seriously, my official comment is no comment. Like, for real.
Okay,
seriously.
But here's...
Leave Marilyn alone.
Here's what I want to ask you. Like, do you think the ghost of Marilyn Monroe was on the set? Letting them know what
yeah,
she liked.
Yeah, I do. No, I really do.
Yeah. I feel like this is the sort of thing that they're saying to get buzz around the movie. Oh my God, Marilyn's ghost. She was there. I gotta see it.
Like, I'm just picturing the trolley of actors, camera operators, directors, producers, PAs, craft services, the trolley pulling up to this old cemetery, and then play a one card, big Hollywood budget. You couldn't even bring flowers, just one motherfucking card. Placing it, and then they're being like, oh, we feel her. This is literally like Hollywood delusion. I can't with these people. People are... And this is just like a general statement, I think, on the status of society. People are not okay.
Yeah. Deeply unwell. And to think that we want to hear this. Okay, maybe like, if I may, like, maybe you're playing the most iconic, really woman in the last century, it's a overwhelming thing. And you want to make sure you're doing her justice. So maybe personally, you're like praying to the ghost of Marilyn, like whatever, making sure like she's okay with everything that you're doing. But to think that we want to hear about it and like we think that this is normal.
And to think that you're the first and only movie to ever be made about Marilyn Monroe, like this isn't like the and official.
They're trying to say like Marilyn sanctioned this movie.
Right. No, it's this is like PR goblins. Like, I don't like
this. It's ghost PR.
Yeah, it's using like sorcery for press.
Yeah.
And I'm not buying it.
No.
And this is making me think low of everyone involved.
Agreed.
And now I'm thinking that 14-minute standing ovation was just a hoax, too. Maybe it was Marilyn getting everyone up out of their seats. Woo! Spooky!
It is quite spooky, though, don't you think?
No, I'm not spooked at all. In fact, I've never been more calm.
But maybe it was they were getting confused. Maybe it was just the ghost of Sneetch's past.
That has happened to me before, where I think it's Marilyn Monroe, but it's just the ghost of Sneetch's past.
She has been known to go to movie sets and throw things off walls.
Ooh, spook. Spooky season is almost upon us. We have got to start thinking about what we're going to do for Toastaween 2022.
I presented an idea that's a decent backup idea.
It's a great backup, but I do think we can do something slightly more relevant.
Yeah, no, I think so too. We'll just have to put our thinking caps on. I already know what my personal costume is going to be. I've started ordering some things for my...
Are you going to go... trick-or-treating in the neighborhood?
I think so, but also, you know, like to get dressed and take pictures and
all
that.
And all that jazz.
So if you're like want to get dressed with my family, I think we could come up with a part for you.
Well, I am going to be at your house for about a week for Toastaween. We're going to be together. And then your birthday's the next weekend, so I'm just going to stay with you for that week.
Okay.
So make sure my quarters have been properly prepared.
I will. And if you want to send any costumes down here.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess I'll be able to go trick-or-treating in the nabe with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. I'm so ready for Halloween. Like, the way I fucking die for Halloween candy.
I know.
And I know it's available year-round. It does not taste the same.
No. And it's like, why would you have candy year-round?
And don't get me wrong. Like, being in the city for Halloween, like, it sucks. Like, there's really no, like, trick-or-treating. But the fact that every residential or corporate building you walk into, like, does have a big bowl of candy in the lobby, like, that is worth its weight in gold.
No, and in my building, like, they put that bowl out early. They leave it till late. Like, and I don't know if I was the only one continuing to eat all the candy, but I didn't feel like I missed out because I lived in New York. Like, I always lived in a building that respected the art of Halloween candy.
My current building does not respect the bowl. And I think for the last 2 years, I've said I'm going to purchase a bowl and just like be the one responsible. And I never remember, but I'm doing it this year.
Yeah, just go on Amazon, like buy it now. It'll be ready. What if you just?
But my building is like so fucking like fancy. And like, they're going to be like, this bowl is not from Pottery Barn. Like literally I walked out of my apartment last night to pick up my dinner. And I saw the mayor of New York.
And what'd you say?
And I gave him a smile, and then he turned around, and I went like this. That's me. Like, I'm a two-faced bitch, like, social climbing star fucking whore. And that's why me and the mayor get along, because he and I have that in common.
Totally.
That, like, literally, the mayor, like, that is exactly what I would do. Like, I can't even blame him for, like, being, like, a party
no,
boy.
He's
like,
not
same.
Interested in city tings. Not
no,
interested.
No, who the fuck would be?
Not
look
interested
around,
in like, the job. Interested in the celebrity status.
Is he the greatest mayor we've ever had? No. Is he the most relatable? Yes. I get it, Eric. I do. I really do. Like, I would also want to go to all these members clubs, like... The new members club, Aman, have you heard of it?
No.
It's like the Aman hotels. Okay. They now are membership clubs. It's actually sickening. I've walked past it. It smells amazing.
Are you going to join
membership,
it?
The membership fee is a lowly, it's, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 grand. You got to put up 500 grand that you get back when somebody buys your membership back. But it's like collateral because I guess like, maybe a bunch of people can afford 25 grand, but not that many people can afford 500
okay.
grand.
Okay. And what does this club get you?
It's a membership club. I think they have like spa, gym, restaurant, bar. And then I think you also get like preferred treatment, premium VIP treatment if you stay at any of the Aman properties, like the Aman Giri, Aman in Turks and Caicos.
500,000 to get like an upgrade, a room upgrade? Like,
no, literally.
You should be getting free, like that should cover the rooms. Like,
no, I know.
That's insane.
I know, but like you will catch me walking past it. I've actually walked past it many times. Like, I'm going to sneak in. Like, I want to go.
Wow. Let it keep if us I could posted.
Just, I'll put together a GoFundMe for the 500 grand. And everyone gets paid back when I lose my membership eventually.
For talking about it on this show.
100%. First rule of Amman. Don't talk about Amman.
First rule of all these clubs. And it's like, yeah. Just let us talk about it.
No, totally. It's totally.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
The final story. Yeah, I am.
In unlikely Real Housewives news, John Hamm is calling out Erica Jane over her earrings drama. Quote, they were never yours. Unexpected
crazy.
Housewives fan John Hamm called out Erica Jane for her hesitation to give back the 750,000 diamond earrings her estranged husband Tom gifted her with allegedly stolen settlement funds. He said, you just want to shake her and go, honey, they were never yours. Give them back.
Ooh,
he then questioned whether the earrings are valued at $750,000 or $1.3 million, but he reaffirmed that she should give them back.
Oh, that's a fair question. Is it $750 each?
No. So they were originally valued at $750, purchased back in 2007. However, their worth has since increased, plus inflation.
Right. They're probably over $1 million now.
Yeah.
It just can't feel good. Like, obviously, Bravo fans are fucking brutal. They'll eat you alive, but like you get used to it. To have two A-listers back to back coming at you, calling you evil, like that's rough.
Yeah, I can't believe John Hamm watches Housewives.
I mean, I guess like when you're so famous, like you really don't work that much, you know?
Yeah.
You have a lot of free time.
Well, so John Hamm, it's confusing because he was Don Draper, who's the most serious man alive. But like John Hamm is like a goof.
Do you remember his character in 30 Rock?
Yeah. And also in Kimmy Schmidt. He's the Reverend.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Obviously, him and Tina Fey have, like, a great relationship.
Yeah. But he's just, like, a goofball. And it's always disarming when you find it out because he's Don Draper.
No, that's such a good point.
And that's, you know what? He's a good actor.
I would agree.
And he's very handsome.
I would agree. And he's got a big dick, too.
And he's funny. And he's smart.
Funny, smart, big dick. Like, seriously, is he single?
Let's look.
Do you ever, you remember that picture of him in the gray sweatpants? People were shooketh.
I'll go to that next.
He had a third arm.
Stop, I'm not okay. John Hamm has a girlfriend, so I'm sorry.
You don't have a dick that big with no girlfriend.
Yeah, and then his John Hamm. John Hamm.
Gray sweatpants.
Sweatpants.
Did it come up in the Google?
No, it didn't. Okay, wait, images.
Maybe just Google John Hamm penis. Maybe he wasn't wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, because he's wearing like cargos.
Yeah, there was like one picture where his dick was swinging right and left. Like,
penis takes its owner out for a walk. Gawker.
That's funny. That is funny. You okay?
That's fucking funny.
So that's what you needed to know about John Hamm.
Today. And
it's just funny that he has a big dick and his name is John Hamm. Like, that's literally the name of someone with a big dick. John Hamm.
Yeah. Also, Beverly Hills is on tonight. It's shit's going down episode. This is the Prince Was Promised, you know, post-Aspen blowout. I've seen the clips that are emerging. I still believe in a world where, like, Lisa Rinna wants to see Kathy go down. And is it exaggerating? But I'll keep him an open mind.
Yeah, no, I won't keep an open mind. I don't even care what I see. I'm Team Kathy.
Yeah, like, no, I don't care what I see. I'm Team Kathy, but I'll hear about it.
Speaking of hearing about things, we have Dear Toasters, our advice segment, which I just wanted to make a quick announcement before we dive in. We're running low on submissions, so if you haven't written in yet, now's this is the chance.
Do you think?
DearToasters@gmail.com. Try and keep it a little brief. Like, we can't really read anything that long. Just need to know information. We'll totally keep it anonymous. You can write in about anything. DearToasters@gmail.com. The same goes for unburdenyourselves@gmail.com.
Do you think that people are not writing in as much because, like, we've solved all the world's problems?
Right. There's no crime before dinner time, because all the crime has been resolved.
And I want my dinner now.
That was me last night. I couldn't even get out of my building. There was like, because UN week, there was like police everywhere. I said, sir, I have to go get my dinner. I want it now. And he's like, ma'am, why are you singing in the middle of the street? So Dear Toasters is brought to you by Modern Fertility. Knowledge is power, and when you know more, you can make better decisions for your body, your health, and your future. There aren't many decisions bigger than having a kid, but for many women, their fertility is a big question mark. And that's why Modern Fertility was created, an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label. You'll get personalized results within 10 days. You'll get insights into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, other or important fertility factors. The results are going to go deep into what every hormone means. You can also download the results to review with your doctor for next steps. And you guys know, if you want to do traditional testing at the doctor, it can cost over $600. But Modern Fertility gets you the same information at a fraction of the cost. Plus, if you go to modernfertility.com/toast30, you can get $30 off your test. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $30 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast30. It's a limited time offer for $30 off, which means your test will cost just $169 instead of the hundreds or even thousands it could cost at the doctor's office. Get $30 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast30. modernfertility.com/toast30. All right, first up. Hello, Jack Sklod, Brass and Strass.
Brass and Strass and Mrs. Boys.
Longtime listener ever since Claude has been posting from the bath. Anyways, I need some advice on a new relationship. I'm dating a man who's 10 years older than me. I'm in my 20s. He's in his 40s, but it's not the age difference that's an issue for me, as we are really simpatico and are of equal maturity. He's by definition a pajom. He does things like randomly bring me coffee in the morning, brings me to work early in the morning before he has to be up. He even brings treats over for my cat. We have a lot of similar interests and we get along great. And he recently told me that he's in love with me. My only concern is that he's been married not once, but twice before. He's been very transparent with me about why both marriages ended and what went wrong, and he seems to have really grown from it. The first marriage, he was very young. He didn't choose someone he was compatible with, and they were both very unhappy. The second, he ended up being with someone who needed a lot of support and looking after, and ultimately ended with her cheating on him. My question is, do you think this is a recipe for disaster given the past, or should I give this pajam a chance? Sincerely, a trepidatious toaster.
I don't think so. I think at 40-something, like, that tracks. I think to me it would be a bigger red flag if he's 40 something and never been married.
Never.
If he had only the one young marriage, that's still like almost 15 years of him having been single. Like, this is a man who wants to find love, like, and he's not going to stop until he does. Okay, he struck out twice, like, but he's back up at the plate. I respect it.
It shows perseverance and strength.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I think that that's just the what you. Get when, like, someone is older, they've lived, and that's what,
right.
You know.
I also think that, like, both the marriages he described, like, those that type of shit does happen. Like, you get married really young, and, like, a lot of times that doesn't work out. You know, you end up really unhappy because you grow and evolve. So that totally sounds like something that could have happened. And then, literally, the next bitch cheated on him. Like, it sounds like he's really just trying his best.
Yeah, it sounds like he is trying his best. And just because he's divorced, like, I don't think that's a red flag.
No, and by the way, you're 100% right. Like, it would be cause for concern if, like, he'd been, you know, dating for 20 years and never once even got married.
Right.
Like, that's more concerning than being married twice. It sounds like he's really just, like, a hopeless romantic.
Yeah, no, if you're going to be with an older person, like, they have history. And
yeah.
As long as...
I wouldn't let it bother you.
I wouldn't
you.
Let it bother you either. Also, I mean, you never know what actually happened. There's two sides to every story, whatever.
Right, right.
But at the end of the day, we can agree that they weren't compatible matches. Perhaps
right.
You guys are compatible. And, like, I think that's fine. And also, you get all the perks of a mature man. He brings mm-hmm. your cat treats. He's thoughtful. He gets up early in the morning and drives you to work. And there's, you know, pros and cons to everything. You get the maturity.
So true.
You also get the history.
So true. I think it's fine. I'm not worried.
I'm not worried at all. Everything sounds great. Kosher.
But it's a fair question.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, it's maybe not what you saw for yourself.
Right, right. Being the third wife.
But write a book about it. The third wife. Be a bestseller.
Take your power back.
Take your power back.
Jackson Claude, help. Please keep this anonymous for my own well-being, LOL. But my mother-in-law is obsessed with my partner's exes.
Ugh.
To give you some context, my boyfriend and I live together and have a 2-year-old daughter. But my mother-in-law always comments, posts pics, loves shit. Likes pics and loves shit that my boyfriend's exes post on social media. Am I being dramatic or is it normal for me to think this is fucking weird? Do I say something to her? Do I make him say something? It feels like a slap in the face that I'm constantly competing for her approval with his exes. Sincerely, a salty toaster. It's weird. Don't let anyone think any different. It's weird and it's inappropriate. You have a child with this man and you shouldn't say anything because, like, there's no reason for, like, you to get involved, but your man needs to say something, like, for real.
Yeah. Also, if it maybe if it was just like one ex who she personally connected with and like whatever, right. Some people hit it off.
Connect.
But that she's like more interested in exes than his present relationship. It's like, what, do you need to break up with him for her to like you? You should right. say that to your man.
This is on your man to communicate, first of all, like first and foremost. And you know what? Just know that this is a thing about the mother-in-law's character. Like, she's never really going to truly fully support you. So don't think for one second that she's your friend and someone you could trust. Like, I wouldn't ever confide in her. She sounds like a vindictive wench.
Yeah. Like, you have a grandkid. This is next level. And you're yeah. commenting on some ex's Facebook posts. Like, they don't want to be your friend. They don't want to be your
no,
friend.
No, it's fucking... I bet the exes think it's weird, too. Yeah. Everyone thinks this woman's a freak. And your man needs to put her in her place immediately, if not sooner.
Agreed.
She's, like... She's honestly slandering the family name by acting like a public wench.
It's wenchy behavior, and it must be stopped in its tracks.
And the wenchy behavior must come to an end. Third and final. Oh, my God, I can't talk today. Dear Jax-Claude
Brazenstrass.
Long-time listener, first-time writer. And let's cut to the chase. I flew across the country to go to my fiancé's friend's wedding, Margot. The night before the wedding, Margot got a little wine drunk and she pulled my fiance Maverick aside and confessed that she wished she was marrying him instead of her fiance. She went through with the wedding, but I'm still feeling uncomfortable about the situation. I'm getting married next month to Maverick and this girl is invited. She has been friends with Maverick for 10 plus years. I feel uncomfortable bringing it up again or approaching her about the situation. Do I say anything or uninvite her from the wedding? From a conflicted toaster. Well, I want to know how you found out about this. I'm going to assume that your man told you, which means you have a good man on your hands. And you really don't have anything to worry about. Because if he had even like the smallest inkling of love for her, he never would have told you.
Yeah. This is messed up. But I'm just like trying to put myself like in the situation to see what I would do. And it just like would depend on her. Like, is she
like what she looks like? Is she a threat?
Or
100%.
Is she just like very sad and Maverick?
No,
is, like,
by the way, I love where your head is at. And not that we should be judging people by how they
it's
look or like how they
looks,
act.
It's a whole package. It's, you know, is she vibe. This like confident, vibrant person who people just want to be around and like.
Who like really could steal
your man.
Who could steal even the, there are women out there who could steal the Pope from the church. Like even the most committed, faithful man, like there are women who are so charismatic, confident, stunning, can do things with their pussies. Like there are women out there that could steal even the most faithful men. But then there are also just like some sad sacks out there who pose absolutely no threat to your relationship and have been in love with the same man since, you know, 10 years ago. And we should, you know, we should invite them to the wedding. Maybe they'll meet someone else. Like,
she's
we feel
married
bad for them.
Now.
Oh, right.
So I think you just need to assess the threat level, like not.
Use your better judgment on what type of threat this girlie possesses.
Yeah.
For real.
Because if it's not a threat, just whatever. She had like a sad, bad night and. It doesn't matter to you. Like, you're
and think about
Maverick.
How difficult, if she's a sad sack, think about how difficult the night will be for her if she gets uninvited. Like,
yeah, but
you couldn't do that. That's kicking someone while they're down.
If she is that viper of a woman, she's got to
keep
go.
Her far, far away.
Disinvited.
And you have a very good reason. Like, I think your fiance is not unreasonable to reach out to her and say, Vixen, you know, given the conversation we had at your wedding, I don't think it would be appropriate for you to be at the wedding. I love you as a friend and I only want the best for you.
Get the fuck out of my wedding.
But please don't show up.
Yeah.
Assess the threat. That's amazing advice. And that's what you 100%
And that's like the real honest truth, you know?
Yeah. If you're writing into us, you're not looking for, you know, Hallmark cards. We're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth is that some women are threatening and some women are not. And you have to protect your home. Seriously, like you're building a life with this man. Oh, man, we're being like so Sarah Foster because it's like, it's on the man not to be with the vixen.
No, we're...
Everything comes full circle.
No, but here's the thing. Like, you have information. Knowledge is power. If you choose to do nothing about it, like, who knows what could happen next?
That's on you.
Yeah.
Not that I'm blaming you if anything happens,
no,
but like,
everyone
you know,
has a role to play in the great war to come.
In their own lives. It's so true.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who was vulnerable with us. I actually think we were quite helpful to all three. Like, that was some good sound advice.
And these were manageable situations.
And just know, like, if you're going to write in, like, you're not going to get, like, some new image, like, buzzword advice. You're going to get advice from, like, your 97-year-old grandma who grew up in a shuttle in Poland. In Poland.
Yeah. And it's around this long for a reason.
Yeah, like there's truth and it's harsh, but it needs to be said.
Yeah.
Just like everything that we said here today needed to be said, because that's the morning toast for you.
Oh, just a little quick content recap. I finished Carrie Soto.
Mm-hmm.
4 stars. Taylor Jenkins Reid. She does it again. Like, she's just such a pleasant author to read. And
oh, maybe I'll read it.
Yeah, it went by so quickly, and it didn't like change my life or anything, but it was just good.
Carrie Soto, is she a character from a previous book that I need to read?
No, so that's what she always does. Like, each of her books, like in Evelyn Hugo marries Mick Riva.
Right, Mick Riva is Malibu Rising.
Mick Riva is the father of the main characters in Malibu Rising. In Malibu Rising, the main character, Nina, at one point is married to a tennis player named Brandon who has an affair with Carrie Soto. So it's always like an ancillary character in the book before. So,
but you don't need to read the book. Prior.
No, not at all. But like, she creates her own world. Like in this book, Carrie Soto, like, she was on the plane reading an unauthorized biography of Daisy Jones and the Six. Like, she self-references all the time. It's cool.
That is cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us The Morning Toast, give you a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an incredible Wednesday. Don't forget to hump someone you love, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye.